One of the questions that I get asked is like, who am I writing for? And I always tell them, like, I begin with a very small room. Like, usually the room is, you know, I have three younger brothers. So I begin with them, and I begin with them because they're not poets themselves. But if I can write things that are interesting to them, that make them feel something, then I feel like I'm on the right track. And I, you know, I know, and like, I've studied poetry and I've studied the craft, just like Tony has studied lighting and all the craft of photography, right? That I can take care of that part. But the heart, the people that are going to tell me if I got the heart right, if I got the relationship right, mm-hmm. if I got the love right, those people are the people that first and foremost, I want their go ahead.
This program is brought to you by Haymarket Books as part of our live event series. Haymarket Books is a radical, independent publisher dedicated to connecting social movements with the ideas they need in the struggle for a better world. You can help support the Haymarket Project by buying books at haymarketbooks.org and especially by joining the Haymarket Book Club. By joining the book club, you get all new Haymarket titles delivered to your door, and a 50% discount on the entire Haymarket website, all for one low price. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and the Haymarket YouTube channel to access all of our upcoming events. If you really want to help us out, rate and review the podcast on Apple or whatever platform you're listening on.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm here with Jose Olivares and Antonio Salazar. And this is the book that we're going to be talking about. It's called Por Siempre. And you can already purchase this book online. So let's get started. I don't know, how are you all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Doing excellent. I wore this hat just for this occasion. I'm so excited Beautiful. To talk to Tony and
Zico. Very sharp, looking very dapper, sir.
Thank you. This hat was actually Tony's suggestion. Tony talked me into buying this hat, so it's only right.
You look good, bro. Yes. You look good in cowboy hats, man. I'd buy you more.
Yeah. Actually, I think you were wearing that hat when we met when you guys were planning the book. Was it about 4 years ago, Jose? Is that right?
I bought the cowboy hat when we went through, when we started looking at everything. So when we were in revision and editing process. So that was 2021 when we were kind of compiling everything. But yeah, okay. we started planning the book back in fall of 2018.
Yeah.
How did that come about, Tony? Did you approach Jose, or Jose, did you approach Tony?
So Jose was like doing his book tour for Citizen Illegal, which was his book, was his first book through Haymarket, right, bro?
Yes, sir.
And a mutual friend of ours, Sant, he told me that Jose was going to be making a stop in Phoenix and, you know, just tap in, show love, you know, like just be a homie. And so I went to his reading. We chopped it up. We cruised for a while. Just drove him around to different spots around Phoenix. And we just talked about like just different things from our past growing up, things that were saying, things that were similar, things that were different. And that's when we started to talk about like what we do, our mediums. And I started to share photos with him. So it didn't seem like it was anything like, oh man, like, you know, this is what we're going to do. I had this plan from the jump. It was just more like legit, just two homies kicking it. And it just so happened. We just so happened to talk about our work and stuff. And it just fell into place from there. Jose was really digging the work, And immediately, like, I feel like he kind of saw something in that, in the potential in the project, a collaborative project. So we just kind of went from there. And it was a slow start just because he was still on the road doing his thing. And I was still kind of like gathering a lot of work, like still shooting, still wandering around. There wasn't really too much direction with it. But once we got to sit down and like really chop it up about like the images and kind of like where we wanted to go with it, that's when I feel like it started to get the ball rolling a little bit more. Yeah. So I was going to say, yeah, it initially started like just like two homies, like chopping it up, I guess, to answer your question.
How was that for you, Jose? Because as I was going through this book and I was seeing Tony's photos, there's a certain feeling that comes up by just seeing them without reading anything just yet. But I feel like you do such a great job on, it's almost like translating something. Mm. It's not English to Spanish, it's an image to words. How was that for you?
Yeah, you know, from the beginning, I wanted to, you know, so the first thing that stood out to me about Tony's photos is they're just really beautiful. And I wanted to make sure that in my poems, I wasn't kind of trampling over the images by being like holding someone's hand and being like, and now this is what you're seeing in the photo, right? The photos can talk for themselves. Tony, as a photographer, doesn't need me to kind of tell you what's happening in the photos. And so for me, it was about trying to do something different, which is kind of where the device of the poems, you know, all the poems begin with the poem wants. It's a way to try and take myself out of the poem, because so many of the poems that I write when I'm writing independently are so steeped, right? They're so full of, they come from my autobiography, right? They come from my life. And so trying to take that out and to see if I begin with just a detail in Tony's images, right? The roosters, or, you know, I can picture them just like talking about them. You know, there's like one where it's like, you know, I don't know if it's a Theo or somebody's dad just smiling and proud, you know, at his like store of botas or whatever. There's another, you know, the one that we used for the cover with the baby getting the bath in the sink. Like, yes. Beginning with the little details and then seeing what would happen if I followed that, if I began with the same kind of picture, but then followed that to wherever the poem wanted to take me.
Wow. To me, when I was reading the poem and then seeing it, it almost, let me finish that first. So I would look at the image and then read the poem. But as I read the poem, I would look back at the image too. And it's almost like it's softened the image as well. So it was beautifully put together. Do you mind reading a poem for us from the book?
Yeah, I'll read the first poem in the book, which is one of the last poems that I wrote for the collection. So the poems don't have titles, but they all begin, "The poem is," or "The poem wants." The poem is written by the son of immigrants. The poem wants to thank his parents for migrating to the United States. The poem knows his parents were thinking, "One day, mi hijo va poder escribir los versos más tristes," while riding across the border. The poem knows he gets paid $5 every time he writes the word border. Border, 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 border. The poem knows he gets paid $10 every time he speaks Spanish. Frontera, 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 frontera. The poem never turns down overtime. The poem is angry his parents migrated to the United States. The poem knows in Mexico he would be unburdened with being a minority. O to be born lowercase, lower caste, lower class. The poem confesses to never riding across the border in the trunk of a car. It happened to someone else. The poem understands relation is relative. Relatives don't understand the poem. Mijo, why did you go to Harvard just to stay poor? The poem knows he will never know the promises his parents made to stay alive. The poem wears a mask. The mask is a bouquet of gardenias. The bouquet is for your protection. If the poem ever dropped the bouquet, the only thing remaining would be a fist.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Every time I hear you read, I really like paying attention to the sound of the voice, to the poets, to anyone that ever reads anything. And it makes me feel so vulnerable and sentimental. It takes me back to a familiar place of love, of care, of awareness and understanding. And you do that again. You do that so well with the photos that Tony took. Tony, how has, I know that your work has changed over time. Do you still take photos like this? And how, more than anything, how did you choose these photos in particular for this book, this collaboration with Jose?
To answer the first part of your question, yeah, the work has changed over time. I feel like it's gotten a little bit more refined. Not that it wasn't intentional, not that it wasn't like the work I was making was a little bit wild, but it was like I feel like when I was making a lot of those photos in the beginning, it was very loose. It was very like I really had to put myself in these like moments or situations where not that how do I say it? I guess I just had to really be there all the time, and I was kind of like training my eye to see memories, I guess, like, because that's what I kind of really go based off of when I'm making a lot of photos. I'm making a lot of new work. I'm going off like feelings and memories and just simple things that'll trigger me to just pick up the camera and, you know, just start going off, just start making the photo. So I had to like really, really maneuver myself into different situations, going to cruises, going to garages with homies, just wandering around, a lot of wandering around to really like narrow down what it's becoming today, which I feel like it's the same work. It's just, I feel like it's a little bit more poetic, if anything. And I feel like that's, you know, I could give a credit to Jose because, like, you know, his poetry is a big influence. And I don't know, I just feel like if you were to look at some of the work I make now compared to what one of the oldest photos in the book, they could still sit next to each other and they could still talk to each other, but you know, you could tell one is a little bit more from like a wild perspective, a younger me, whereas like, you know, this new type of work is a little bit cleaner, a little bit more direct without being so, you know, in your face sometimes. And I don't know, like, I guess that's what I mean. I feel like it's just become a little bit more refined. And I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question? How we, the collaborative?
Yes, yes. How did you choose the photos for the book?
Okay, so I picked a good group in a folder of like 100 or maybe 200 photos, and Jose was running around still doing his book tours and stuff, and he managed to make a pit stop in Phoenix again. And we sat for like, I want to say like a whole weekend, just like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to break it down. And man, shout out Jose, man, because he really put me on to how to kind of put together a project like that. And because I mean, I have the work, I could sequence my own stuff, but to kind of look at it from like a reader's perspective and like that, he really helped me clean that up. So yeah, Jose definitely, he came down, we were together for a weekend, and we just broke down all the photos and why this should go here, why this belongs in communion, why this belongs in language, why this belongs in this. And that's how we were able to put the whole thing together. Just a lot of patience and a lot of like questions with ourselves, questions with each other. So it was really I don't know how other people are when they collaborate with everyone else. I hope everything is cool, but it was really easy, man. It was or at least Jose made it feel easy, you know? Like,
so if I could jump in.
Yeah.
Tony's being super humble. We spent that time in Phoenix together, but Tony is the one who, as we were like looking through everything, was like, you know, this right here, this is communion. And this is, you know, he broke it down into those three sections. So Tony had the vision from the start. And one of my favorite parts of the whole process was like seeing how Tony looked at his own photographs. There's a photo of like this apartment complex. It says Las Palmas on the sign. And in the background, you see this palm tree, but the palm tree is like not in a healthy place, right? The palm tree is like kind of looking bad. And Tony was like, that's the point. It's like sometimes, you know, it can tell, something can tell you it's paradise, something can look like paradise, and then you actually see it and it's something else that's actually there, right? So Tony has that eye of being able to see when things are lined up and also when things are not lined up. And so for me, it was just, it really helped me refine my process to kind of slow down and look at the world, like, you know, train my discipline to kind of see the world the way Tony is disciplined in his looking.
Right. And now that you mentioned the three sections, how did you manage to break those three down, or even come up with the name for the three chapters, which is language, tradition, and communion?
Jose? I kind of want to hear Tony talk about it. I mean,
okay.
What I remember though is, like, for example, language, there was one photo I remember, it's like in the car shop and it's, you know, a dude with his head inside like the tire of a car, right? Doing work. And Tony looked at it and he was like, that's language. That's another way of talking. So again, like, Tony had the vision. He already could see. And I was like, you're right. Like, that is, it doesn't, you know, the car doesn't look, it, the way it functions in the community is almost like a person, right? Like, they have these interactions. Yeah, that's the photo that you're looking at. So
yeah.
Yeah, Tony had the vision for all of that.
Okay, Tony.
I guess it just came from things that I felt like were so simple, or they seem simple, like simple ideas. For the one of the homie sitting in the car or underneath the wheel well or whatever of the car and kind of working on it. To me, that was just, I don't know, like, There's a language there that maybe not a lot of people are going to understand, or a handful of people will. And to get that on camera and to kind of see how certain people speak to each other, they may not speak to each other with kind words, they may not speak to each other in the same lingo or whatever, but when it comes to, like, you know, breaking down and chopping up a car, throwing some teens on it, You know what I mean? Finding parts that work so your ride is sitting clean. Like, there's a lot of people that understand that language, and only they get it, you know? Like, the car scene might be a money pit, but these guys are addicted, and the homies are addicted. They need to have their rides clean. They need to have it clean by Saturday so they could go cruise. They need to have it clean on Sunday so they could go pick up food and look nice doing it. Like, it's just another way of speaking in like, you know, the lowrider culture, and the same goes for other subcultures, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that people do that I'll never probably understand, but it doesn't matter. It's not for me, you know, and it's not for anyone else. It's for them to chop it up with and just, like, I don't know, just keep it going like that. So I that's how I kind of approached it when we were like breaking everything down. And same thing with like the other images of people dancing or people at the car wash cleaning their cars. Like, that's another language I guess you could say that's another way of saying, you know, of having love. You know, that person there loves what they built with their hands. You know what I mean? So he's gonna take care of it. He has pride in that. You know what I mean? This person in the photo with the hat, the cowboy hat, and it's green, and they're dancing. That's like, that's a family function. That's a backyard. That's love right there. You know what I mean? He's holding her. He's saying, "I love you." Like, it's the little things that you find in a lot of images that kind of like take you there. And sometimes it takes a lot. Some people just see, you know, like, oh, this is just all of whatever. It's just pretty. It's just technically really, you know, the composition's good and this and that. But if you got to try to look past that. Like, is there drama in the photo? Is there a bigger story behind everything, you know? And you got to let your mind wander sometimes. So I think that was a big part, was I was letting my mind wander and take me to those places of language, tradition, communion. And it was, like I said, Jose really helped me a lot breaking it down, and kind of, he would ask me the questions like, okay, why this, why is it in here, explain it to me. And I would, like, you know, go off on these tangents, kind of like what I'm doing now, and just like, you know, oh, it's because of this and this and this and this. And I would get really excited and nerd out. But then he would also challenge me too on like, whoa, it could also be this. This is what, you know, and I love the back and forth [S2] Right. [S1] That we had, because it made it so, like, I don't know, like I said, he gave me a new shared perspective. I was just like, whoa, like, okay, you're right. You know, this is something I need to look deeper into. But yeah, that was kind of like how we broke it down. I don't know. I hope I answered the question right.
Yeah, that made perfect sense. Real quick, you know, one of my favorite parts is in the second section in tradition. You know, we made the decision early on to begin with the photo series of like the old school, right? The older dude with the rope doing his thing, yeah. Right? And then But then instead of just having it all be kind of the old school, we jumped and we showcased like what new school tradition would be, right? Mm-hmm. And so there were just so many, like, honestly, I feel really proud of the way the book moved and those like small movements that I don't know if everyone notices, but to me were really important.
Yeah.
Yes. Another thing that I wanted to mention, and it's regarding this three chapters that you guys put together, it's more than anything, I seeing the photos is like, Tony, how do you go about taking these photos? I know that if they require trust, they require people to be vulnerable and open for you to be there, and I'm pretty sure that not a lot of people get to go into the spaces and take photos like you do. How do you go about it?
It's the same way I go about with a lot of my other relationships. It always becomes personal. It's never like, a superficial, like, oh, this looks cool, let me kind of take your photo kind of thing. It's, you know, not that that's like bad. Like, you know, if there's an amazing photo in front of you, and, you know, any photographer is going to want to like, oh, you know, this is it, you know. But for this type of stuff and for this work, yeah, definitely took a lot of trust. And, you know, a lot of these people I know personally, a lot of these people are my friends, a lot of these people I still talk to, a lot of these people I still pull up on. Like, so it took a long time. And it was never my intention. It was always just like I always found a common ground with a lot of people. So it was like cars or even just like just the most basic thing, like smoking something, you know, or just like hanging out and cruising. Like that was a big one, like just being out late, like just cruising. I wasn't like no menace or nothing looking for trouble, but I just had this weird urge to want to explore. And I ended up meeting a lot of other people, you know, like-minded people who were the same, or, you know, they were actually, you know, on a mission or something. And I would just roll. And it started from there. It was like just always being there, always being honest, always being respectful. And slowly, you know, a lot of these people started to like open up their lives to me and kind of allow me to be in their space, you know, and allow me to document them and allow me to make these photos. And it's really special to see, like, oh, these are like my friends, and these are my, you know, these are my people, these are homies, these are, you know, people I still see out and about. Like, so yeah, it is a lot of trust. And it was a slow build. Like this was work that I've been collecting for a long time. Like this wasn't just like something, oh, I need to do it for this. Like,
right.
This was, yeah, like, man, like I've been doing this. Like I've been going out, I've been cruising. And these are just photos that I've had for years. And when I finally got a chance to meet up with Jose and like kind of like show him everything, I think he was kind of a little taken back, because I think he was just like, whoa, you know, like this is some heavy stuff, and I've just been sitting on it. So I think that was another reason why we really wanted to put some out, because it was just like, dude, like I can't sit on these, like these people need to see this stuff. And I'm happy we got to do all that. But yeah, it was a long time just making a lot of photos. And it's a long game, like with any medium, poetry, any type of art medium, painting, photography, like you're building your work, you're learning how to speak with it, you're learning how to refine it, how to be more articulate, how to get straight to your ideas and feelings and points, you know, the best way possible. And that's how I kind of like was approaching photography. And that's, and you know, the result was the photos that we see in the book. And I feel like it just kind of naturally came together, you know?
Jose, as I hear Tony talk about the process of him also, like, you know, how he builds trust with the community and how he goes about with his friendships, I feel like it really does reflect the collaboration between you two on the book, the photos, the poetry. How is that process for you? Because it requires you also to be very vulnerable, mm-hmm. To open yourself to people, offer them a piece of yourself and your home, your family. What is that process for you as a poet?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, listening to Tony talk about his process sounds a lot like my process, because a lot of the poems that I write kind of begin with people. Like I write a lot about people in my life and my homies and, you know, my loved ones and the communities that I love. And so for me, like one of the questions that I get asked is like, who am I writing for? And I always tell them, like, I begin with a very small room. Like usually the room is, you know, I have three younger brothers. So I begin with them. And I begin with them because they're not poets themselves. But if I can write things that are interesting to them, that make them feel something, then I feel like I'm on the right track. And I, you know, I know, and like I've studied poetry and I've studied the craft, just like Tony has studied lighting and all the craft of photography, right? That I can take care of that part. But the heart, the people that are going to tell me if I got the heart right, if I got the relationship right, mm-hmm. if I got the love right, those people are the people that first and foremost I want their go ahead. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, like it's a very similar process. Like the people that I write about, then I'm not just writing about random people, like they're people that are super important to me. So yeah, honestly, you know, one of the big takeaways for me is just like, I would feel the way just from looking at Tony's photos. I'd be like, what Tony's doing in these photos is, you know, it's like what I'm trying to do in the poems, is trying to find a way to just capture a moment and show it for all of its beauty and all of its ugliness, like try to make space for everything, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, honestly, it sounds very familiar to me.
When I was reading the foreword of Naomi Guerrero, something that really... Excuse me?
No.
Oh, okay. Yes. Something that called my attention was she wrote an effort to preserve innocence. And that to me, out of everything, she wrote it so beautifully. But when that word came up, innocence, to preserve innocence, and seeing the kid that comes up on the photos, how is that in relation to your, do you see your work like that, Tony, in the photos that you take?
Yeah, I do. Like I said, like I reference memories a lot. And my own personal feelings a lot when I'm out and I'm making photos. Like it's, like I said, it's like a trigger, like something in my head tells me to look somewhere. And then my eyes just immediately like dart to, I don't know, whatever is going to take me back to when I was like, you know, a little kid with my cousins running around and just being out and about. And, I don't know. I feel like it just naturally started to go in that direction with the work. Like the camera just took me there. Like it started off with just me being out late and I just wanted to make photos at first. And then slowly over the years, this started to become more personal and more personal and more personal. And I started to dig deeper and deeper and deeper until I started to like make these photos of some loved ones and people I know in really intimate ways. Because I was like, man, I wish I had, you know, something like that from my family, or I wish I had something like this to hold on to, you know. And I was like, you know what? I need to start reacting to these feelings. And that's when it's kind of started to really take me in that direction. Like the photo with the homie and his lady and the baby, like. We were just all out chilling one day. It was like an early morning. Like I came by and we were just hanging out and, you know, we all just walked into the backyard and they were just standing right there. And I was like, yo, like this spoke to me, because I was like, this is a photo that I would see in my own family photo album. You know what I mean? Like, so like I said, it was just me digging deeper and deeper with the camera, and it just kind of naturally led me there. And I think also too, because I might be like a big softy, so it's like, you know, I'm a sucker for all that like family communal, you know what I mean, like tribes. So I don't know. Yeah, I think that's, to answer your question, yeah, it just was something that was always there that I just had to, I think I was always probably going to head in that direction, just based off my own personal life and stuff. But being around a lot of these people and developing like those bonds and stuff, like it just, yeah, it just really took me there. And it was really, I don't want to say it was easy, because again, you still have to be there. You still have to show up. You still have to lug around your camera. You still have to be like present and aware, especially on the technical aspect. but it was definitely something that was like almost therapeutic, you know?
Yes. When I was seeing the photos, there's that joy always present almost, but something about to break too. And so that to me is what I'm infatuated with when I see these photos, because you were able to capture something, an image that sometimes is very hard to see or to even understand why certain things are happening, or why certain family lives this way or whatnot, or the choices that people are constantly making daily. But yet they know love, they know joy, they know what family is, they know what friendship is. And those, the photos speak that way. Like I said, it's very hard, but yet it's soft in a way. It makes you understand that person without even knowing them, or the struggles that are going out there. And through the poetry of Jose, we become more in solidarity with the challenges, with what we see in the photos. Jose, do you have another poem you'd like to share with us?
If you're enjoying the Haymarket Live series, you'll also be interested in a new book from Haymarket, Care, The Highest Stage of Capitalism, by Premila Nadasen. In this eye-opening reckoning with the care economy, scholar Premila Nadasen traces its logic and history from its roots in racial capitalism and slavery to its exponential growth as a site of profit and extraction. Today's care economy, she shows, is an institutionalized, hierarchical system in which some people's pain translates into other people's profit. As Sarah Jaffe puts it, in clear and concise prose, Nadasen takes apart the care industrial complex that has emerged, like the military and prison industrial complexes before it, to wring the last drops of profit from the lives and deaths of working people. An absolutely necessary intervention in the most important political debate of our times. Find Care, The Highest Stage of Capitalism at haymarketbooks.org.
Yeah, I'll share another poem. This one, I'll just read it. The poem wants to know who you from, where you with. Contrary to popular belief, there is no sad Mexicans waiting to be rescued. The poem lied. There's hella sad Mexicans, and all of them sing like song might bring back love, might bring back the dead, and yo, it really might. The poem wants to know about your relationship to loss. What do you know about death? What ghosts have you made peace with? What ghosts wreck your sleep? Is it true that no one is more haunted than Mexicans? Only if capitalism is a ghost. What do you know about laughter? The poem knows we all have a song to sing, rooted in an unexplainable joy, an unhealable wound. Only a fool tries to save a song by stitching a throat closed.
Damn.
Woo! I got goozies too.
I know.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jose. How do you do that? Like, how do you just, like, do you, were you just
how,
like looking
why,
at,
how, yeah, how just, are like, you doing
tell
this?
Me, tell me. Do you, are these just visions? Because when Tony's talking about, I saw them, we were all outside in the backyard and I saw that and I was like, it almost feels like a vision, right? That someone's just like, that's it right there, like capture it now or it's gonna be gone. Mm-hmm. And I with poetry, it's like, it's, do you, when you were writing these poems, did you sit down with the photo first and was like, okay, I'm gonna rewrite this, or was it just a photo talking to you, or yes, how did you come about to writing the poems?
Yeah. You know, there's part of it that I can't explain fully. Part of it is like Tony says, right? Like, you stay present and you stay aware and you have to stay ready. With this poem in particular, I was thinking about, you know, this idea about like a place being so important to you that it's also your people. You know what I mean? Like, you see in the photos, like, people really repping the west side of Phoenix, right? And so I was thinking about, like, instead of like thinking about like, where are you from? What if it's like, what if we change those questions a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So the poem wants to know, who are you from? Where are you with, right? So changing the making the place be a person in a way. Mm-hmm. And so just starting with there, and that comes from just like looking at the photos. Like, the first image that comes to mind is there's this image of like these two young men, and they're like, they just got tatted up, right? And they're showing off their tattoos.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so just like thinking about those photos and just starting there and then seeing where it goes. And some of it is what you were talking about, right? Still there's a joy. There's like that photo of those two young men, they're like super proud and excited to be where they're from. And they're super proud and excited to have their tattoos and to rep their friends and their neighborhoods. And I think the reason it struck me is because so often we think about, or the way we see people repping a set is just violent, or it's just about, you know what I mean, something else. And it totally ignores all of the joy and happiness that is involved in the process of really belonging to a place and belonging to a neighborhood.
Yeah. Right. But I bet their mama wasn't that happy.
Facts. Yeah, my brother just got a tattoo and my mom was like,
oh no,
does it end? Por qué?
What did you do to the body I gave you?
Exactly, bro. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Tony, do you have a favorite poem from the book?
There's a couple. But the one that he just actually read, oh man, it like changes. But the one that he just read is, because right now, you know, family's going through some things and whatnot. So that one kind of fucked me up a little bit. That one, I'm not gonna lie, that one kind of got me loose. But it's just it's. That one just, cut deep. I already talked to Jose about it, but just on like a little personal level, you know, the pride that he's talking about with the neighborhoods and being from those spaces and like wanting to belong. Like, I feel like a lot of us grow up and we see, you know, like people kind of venture off into their life and fall into that, right? They fall into those certain lifestyles, you know, of Jenna, just like, I don't know, rep a neighborhood or just be out in the streets just trying to make money, whatever. But they always still kind of carry this sense of pride in them of where they're from, or, you know, which street they grew up on or whatever. And like he said, we always hear about like the violence. We always hear about like, oh, so-and-so did this because so-and-so was throwing up this sign or whatever. And we never really hear, you know, about the love that kind of comes from a lot of those scenarios that people need. Like, I feel like you're never truly going to really understand that unless you're in those people's shoes. And, you know, a lot of us will never will be or whatever. And it's just one of those things, like, it goes back to language where it's like, you know, that's something that only certain people will understand. And they're going to carry that with them, that pride, that love. And it's like carrying on the memory of a loved one that passed too. Like, it's to me, that's why it kind of hits home, because it's like, dude, like, you know, we're no longer here, whatever, but I'm still going to ride for you no matter what. Like, you know, I might not be in the same place or whatever I used to be from, but I'm still going to rep that no matter what kind of deal. And yeah, so right now that one has to be my favorite, because that one really just messed me up. Why'd you do that, bro?
And that's where you're at too, huh? I guess it all depends, like, when and how you're reading it, like how you are emotionally at the moment.
It's his words are like maps. His words are, it's like his poetry is like, it's like a map. It's like sometimes people got to sit with themselves and work through things. And, you know, some people could do that in silence, and they could just, you know, methodically just think and get through stuff. And that's awesome. But, you know, someone like me, like, kind of seeing or stumbling upon like Jose's words and just letting it sit with me and keep reading it and keep reading it and keep reading it until I get a million different feelings, a million different directions. It brings me that peace, and I'm sure it brings other people peace too, you know, with his work and other poets, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It definitely feels like a roadmap to some sort of healing or even some sort of peace, you know what I mean? Maybe it doesn't really, you know, heal you, but at least it'll start the journey. It'll take you there, you know, just let the word sit with you. Let it sink in, kind of deal. At least that's how I approach it when I'm reading his poetry or any type of poetry. Like, it, I have to sit with it. I have to think about it. I have to really, like, let it marinate. And,
Can we say that poets are healers?
Oh man, what was that? This is gonna be so funny, but there's this like interview, and one of my favorite actors, it's Ethan Hawke. They're interviewing, they're asking him, and he's like, "Oh, they're asking him what's the purpose of art or whatever." I forget. It's like a little viral clip, but I saw it years ago, and he pretty much says like, "Well, we don't think about art in the same way until, you know, something happens to us that kind of triggers that." So like a death in the family, like losing a sibling, losing a father, or losing a connection, a falling out. We start to dig and pay attention to those things when we have those feelings in us. And if we don't know how to navigate those feelings ourselves, like, I feel like you naturally kind of start to reach out for answers. And to me, these poems have answers. Like I said, they're maps. Like, it might not be the cure, end all be all, but it's a start. You know, you gotta allow yourself to feel those things to really let it take you there. You know,
that's beautiful. I know that clip that you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's true. I have a homie that says, you know, people say poetry isn't important until someone's getting married or someone's getting buried. And then that, you know, you need poetry in those moments. Or at least we want poetry, right? We need poetry to tell us something about how we're feeling or to help us make sense of the world.
Yeah, man. Like, it cuts deep, and sometimes it has to. It's like, dude, it's like a KO, 1-2. Like, dude, like, you really just hit me in the face with that. Now I'm thinking about a million different things, but I'm glad I'm thinking about them now, because, you know, I got to work through these things. You know what I mean?
Word. Hey, Chela.
Yes.
I have a question from the chat. Can I read it so Tony and I can answer it?
Yeah. Go for it. Actually, before you move forward, now that everybody is just on the chat, if they want to request a poem from the book, if someone already has the book and wants Jose to read a poem from the book, let us know the page or the name. And Jose, you're down to read requests?
I'm down to read another one. We have a person doing captions for us. So I don't know if I can read everything, but definitely down to read a poem. So this question is from Corina Lara. And Corina asks, at the moment where you put both photos and words together, did you both feel like you needed to protect the community / people represented? So when you were putting the photos together, did you feel like you needed to protect the people in the photos?
I would want to say, Jose, you want to answer this one?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first, man.
I mean, I think in the poems, I think there's a delicate balance. And I thought about this because there's two poems in the book that talk about guns. Mm-hmm. And I wrote two poems because the first one, I think I was trying to protect the people in the photos and in my life who have guns, who are around guns, mm-hmm. and wanting to defend them, right? And the more I looked at the photos, I was like, I don't know that these people are asking me to defend them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they mm-hmm. need me to be like, you know, Superman and swoop in and try to make people understand them. I think, so then I wrote another poem just kind of trying to, you know, move back and kind of be a little more just paying attention, right? Just like being like, this is what it is. And so for me, I think it's a balance, like, because so many of the people that I write about, and even like looking at the people in Tony's photos, they feel like primos to me, right? They feel like cousins or family. Of course, I want to protect them, but I don't think that, you know, I don't think that that's always what people need from us. I think sometimes people just need us to see what they're going through, right? I think mm-hmm. people sometimes just need us to listen to them. So for me, it's kind of like trying to strike a balance.
Yeah. Yeah, same. With the photos, like you said, it's definitely trying to find a balance. Yeah, I don't feel the need to protect anyone. Like, I feel like a lot of the people that I make photos of, they're gonna be themselves 1,000%, 7 days a week, 365, you know, 24/7. Like, so I don't know. I feel like they just, if they were ever on guard or anything when we were making photos, you know, that might be on them. That might be some personal thing. But I never felt the need to really protect anyone, because, you know, they're gonna do their own thing. A lot of people aren't too concerned with the outside world. You know, at least a lot of people that I tap in with or I work with, they're just, you know, tunnel vision, trying to get through, trying to get day to day, or you know, trying to keep it moving. So no, I never felt the need to protect anyone, but I did feel the need to do justice when documenting, and not, you know, and not be so cavalier with certain things. And like I said, I feel like that's where the respect thing comes in, where you gotta kind of walk into these spaces, you know, hands folded, you know, kind of head down, like being respectful and being aware of your spaces. And I think that's really more my approach, is just like a respect thing. Anyone can be down. I don't want to be down. I want to put you up, man. Like I need to put you on a pedestal. I need people to see you as you, 100%, you know? And so I never felt the need, but to do justice. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. Chela, we did get a request in the chat for a poem. It's the one that I had loaded already. So is it cool if I read it?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so this is on page 27 of the book, and it goes like this. The poem wants you to look again. Look again if all you see is the cracked glass like halos behind the lovers' heads. Again, the broken window policy. Allow us to remix. All that's cracked isn't broken. Still, you want to document, to paper the background, to background check the building. Nobody says gentrification around here. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means we have different language, a different way of seeing. Like when the couple kisses in front of the door with the broken window, you think juxtaposition, when all we see is love kissing love in front of love.
Mm-hmm. Like, how do, I don't even know what to say after that. You know, like, oh, I feel like if you were right here, I would just like hug you and then cry.
I can give a hug. It is all good.
We all need a good cry.
Yes, yeah. And to be held.
And to be held, both. Both are human needs.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like that poem. And I like it because it took me to a place that I didn't know it was going to take me to, you know? But I remember looking at the photo, and the poem references, right? It's the two lovers kissing, and you know, and behind mm-hmm. you can see that the window is broken or whatever. And I was like, and I was thinking about myself, right? Like I went to school and I was thinking about all the academic language that I have for, you know, and sometimes it's just like, you know, let it all go. Like at the end, like what you're seeing is what you're seeing and what you're feeling is what you're feeling. And what it is sometimes it's just simple. It's just love in front, you know, love kissing love in front of love. And that's all there is to say. And so, yeah, I'm really proud I'm proud of all of the poems in part because of, again, the way that like being in conversation with Tony and his photos taught me and showed me to like look more carefully and be more attentive.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you both. I feel so lucky, honestly, to be surrounded by folks who are poets, who are artists, musicians, photographers, videographers, and it's an honor to be here with you both. And Jose, thank you for the invite. Tony, thank you for your friendship, your love, and yes, like. It's just beautiful to see this collaboration happen. I had been waiting for it. I was like, pues pa cuando? Because we saw each other 3 years ago. We talked about it. So I'm waiting, you know. So finally, I was able to hold it in my hand. Hopefully, you both sign it soon. Jose, did you ever imagine or think like, I want to one day do collaborate with a photographer or have a project like this going on for you?
I didn't know it was going to happen, but I do love collaborating. You know, I grew up I started writing in the poetry slam world and we would do group pieces all the time. So, you know, when I was like 22 or 23, I put together like a little Kinko's chapbook with a friend of mine named Sydney. So the two of us, we would just trade poems back and forth and we like printed a book ourselves, right? And so, and the same thing with like visual artists in Chicago. I had, you know, I read at Cent Rock had a show opening in Chicago.
Right.
And asked me to read. Another artist named Victoria Martinez, the two of us, you know, she would show me her collages and I would try to think about art. If that's what the image is, what makes sense in terms of language and words? So I really love collaborating. And so when the opportunity came to work with Tony and because I love the photo so much, I was like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
How was that for you, Tony? How do you feel now that the book, after thinking about it, planning it, and finally seeing it, how was that for you?
I still don't, like, I don't know. As you can tell, I'm at loss for words. It's just it was like a surreal experience, only because I've always loved poetry, and I've always felt like as a photographer and developing my own kind of eye and kind of like training myself in the art of like seeing and kind of breaking down things. Like I always felt like it was the things that I was shooting was kind of like visual poetry. Right. And like, so when everything kind of fell together and it finally like came out and I was holding it, I was just, I'm not gonna lie, I was like a little choked up. I was like, no way, man, like this is like for real, you know? And you know, it's not because of anything crazy, but just because of the simple fact that we're able to collaborate and put something together that I felt like I needed when I was growing up. Like I needed this this map to kind of like guide me. And I'm very, and you know, if it does anything for anyone, I hope it just it helps you and it guides you in some way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? And it just felt like we did something really special. We did something pretty important. And yeah, it just felt like it just didn't feel real. So it still doesn't feel real. It's pretty cool.
Now, for anyone out there that's interested in maybe putting a book like this together, what was the process, Jose? How does that look like? Do you put it all together and then you go and present it? Or like, how is that process for someone to publish a book like this?
Jose, you want to grab that?
Yeah. The process was probably a little bit different for us because I had already published a book with Haymarket. So I had that relationship with...
Shout out Haymarket.
Yeah. Shout out to Haymarket.
Hey.
Yeah. So I had that relationship. And so when Tony and I started, you know, talking about collaborating and all of that, I took it to them first. And I was like, hey, I don't know if this is something Haymarket would want to do, but I think this could be, like, this sounds really awesome to me. It's a book that I want to see made. And so we just talked more and more, and then ultimately Haymarket was excited about the project, and gave us a contract to put it together. So, you know, I don't know how it would be to kind of do it without that relationship, but I would say, like, I feel pretty strongly that even if it wasn't right for Haymarket, that we would have, like, I would have worked with Tony and we would have developed something and made it somehow, whether it was like at a gallery or, you know, with another press. Like, I feel like if you are someone who wants to make something like this, whether it's a photo book or collaborative book or whatever, mm-hmm. like you don't have to wait for anybody to give you permission. Start making the thing and then you'll find your allies as you mm-hmm. continue to work on it.
Yeah. My turn.
Yeah.
Dale.
No, yeah, just the same. Like, you don't need permission. Just go, you know. As far as like, I guess if I could talk about the process, I feel like we put together a couple of drafts and we picked it apart. And I like working like that. I like to throw everything on the table and then just let my mind like kind of go like, okay, maybe we don't need this. We don't need that. Let me move this here. Let me take this here. And I feel like Jose was kind of like on the same way when we were doing it, because it felt so easy. Like, like he was like a guiding hand for sure. So we kind of put everything together and then we dissected it. You know what I mean? And we took it apart and then we refined it and tightened it up. And it was that's just speaking from more of a, like a technical point, but again, what Jose said is so true. Like, if you got something on your mind or you got something loaded that you want to let go, like, do it. Like, you don't, you know, it'll be tough and everything, but I mean, like, anything worth it is going to be a little tough, you know? So yeah. Just let it go. For anyone out there that's doing any type of collaborative project, just start building it, you know, and then let it guide you. Sometimes the project will just take you to where you need to go. You'll find like-minded people who, especially if you're really passionate about it, you're going to find people who are just the same as you that want to do the same thing, that, you know, maybe you guys could do something together. Maybe you guys could leverage each other's tools or resources. Like, you know, we got to work together.
Let's see. I want to go back to, was it Corina that asked the question about protecting the folks on the photos? Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, do you, Tony, did you tell them that they were going to be in a book? Did you show up with the book and was like,
oh man,
this is what I did? Yes.
I would always say like, I'm gonna make a book, man. I'm gonna put you on the cover. Like, I would always be saying stuff like that. So I felt like it was in the air. And a part of me at the time, when I was making a lot of these photos, I was like kind of serious, kind of not. Like, I was still just trying to be in the moment and just like make the work and just be present. But after I started to really make the photo sharper and be more intentional, and kind of the eyes started getting a little bit better, and my visual senses were being triggered more and more. That's when it started to become more of a reality to me, where I was like, okay, wait a minute, you know, this is something I could put together. And I've done smaller projects in the past, little zines, like little collaborative things with people, but never anything like this at all. This is my first book. So if you got it, I appreciate y'all. Jose appreciates you. Everyone appreciates you. But this was like a first for me, and it was really cool. It was really cool.
Is it something that you might be doing in the future again?
Yeah, 100%. It's a long game, you know, like, especially for me. I'm not the type of person that's like, oh, I got this project lined up and this project lined up and this project lined up. If you are, yo, respect, hats off to you, man, because my brain does not work like that. My mind, like, I gotta make things personal. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but there's gotta be this kind of connection there for me. And I definitely wanna do more things, do another one with Jose. I don't care, we could run it back, we could do three-peat, whatever, but I'm just, yes. You know, like, I'm really just trying to like take my time and kind of refine what I'm doing now with the photos and stuff. So yeah, I'm just trying to build. I don't know, did I answer that right?
Yes. Okay. There's no wrong answer here. Real quick, Jose, I know we're running out of time. But I wanted to ask, does the photos that Tony take, or is that the people, does it remind you of Chicago, or the people that you grew up with, family, friends that you've had along the way? Is that also familiar to you?
Of course. It feels very familiar to me. You know, the specifics are different. Like, I look at the backgrounds, like the locations where Tony shoots, right? And I see the mountains or the palm trees or some of those things, and that's different. But then I see, you know, the car culture. There's definitely like a car culture in Chicago. Or I see, you know, the men working in the body shop, you know what I mean? Or I see like the convenience store with all of the familiar signs and language around backwoods and whatever, like all, like there's certain things that are definitely familiar, or even just the way sometimes people are like sitting and chilling feels familiar. So there was a, you know, I think one of my concerns going into the project was like, I don't know if I'm the right poet for this because, you know, I didn't grow up in Phoenix. And so I really just tried to make sure that I wasn't trying to lie about where I was from, right? Like I'm trying to write from those places of similarity, but of course there are differences too. So just trying to be like Tony said, right, respectful and humble and appreciative to get to share space with the people in these photos.
Beautiful. Do you think you can do a bonus? Or El de Pilón? El Pilón?
Which poem were you, do you have in mind?
Oh, you know the one that talks about is someone that it does hate devour you too, something about
Let me see.
It's actually one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
Yes. Let me look it up here. But when I was reading that poem, I was like, ooh, what? It's page 52.
Page 52?
Yes.
They have it. All right, here you go. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Amanda Lundberg for the captions.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll read this and then we can close out, Chela.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jose. Thank you, Tony. Love you both.
Love you, Chela. Here we go. The poem wants, it desires, four boxing gloves between the ropes. What would you do with 2 minutes and the person who wronged you the most? Unwrap every wrong until it shines in the light. Like plucked flowers, most tough talk limps with time. The poem knows something about anger. Hold it too long and it poisons the holder. Can the same be said for love? Digestion turns all tasty treats into the same shit. Dead flowers attract gnats. Even misery is a show. The poem desires an audience. A right hook to the temple will cure you of whatever ailment you're holding on to. It's hard to hold a grudge from the ground. When we suffer, we want a witness. The secret to taking a punch is to accept it. The curse of being human is no matter how much love we get one day, we require more love the next day.
Mm. Yes.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Thank you, everybody.
You so much.
Chela, where can people find you? Tell the people about where to find you around the world.
I'm on Instagram as Chelalala. Like I put it as under like that song. La 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 la. I love you. So yes, it's under Chelalala on Instagram, and also amorneon.com. That's my artist page. And yeah, you can find me there.
What about you, Tony? Where are you at?
I'm at home. No, just kidding. on Instagram, Antonio Salazar. That's about it.
what about you, Jose?
Where are we finding you?
I'm at _Jose Olivares. Yeah, Thank you all so much. This was beautiful. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Go get the book. The book is called Por Siempre. Yeah. Do we need to say anything else?
Well, I hope I catch you both soon presenting this book somewhere nearby.
Something.
Oh, for sure. We'll definitely make that happen.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, subscribe to our podcast and to the Haymarket Books YouTube channel, where events like this one are hosted live. And don't forget to check out haymarketbooks.org.